Thank you, Pastor Tony, for that. Just the invitation to be here. Good morning, church. I've had a very busy week. I've been here since Wednesday night. Thursday, I was at Milo doing interviews for Youth Rush. That's kind of what keeps me busy during the summer. And then on Friday, I was at RVAA doing a little promotion, recruiting there for the program as well. And so this is my last stop before I get to go home, see my wife for a few hours. And then tomorrow I fly off to Lexington, Kentucky for an e-huddle meeting. So, it's never a dull moment serving the Lord. I would like to ask the deacons if you can pass out these cards that I gave you right now. And as you get these cards, I would like you to just glance at it. Don't take too long. Don't let it take your attention. But just look at it briefly and prayfully through the sermon. I would like to fill it out. Just prayfully. And see how God is leading in your hearts. And we'll go through it after. But again, just prayfully look at a card and we'll collect it at the end. I'll instruct the deacons at the end to go by and collect these cards as well. Before I start, I would like to start with a quick word of prayer. So if you would mind joining me as we invite the Holy Spirit to be with us this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful day, Lord. And it's not just beautiful because of the weather and the sun's coming out, but Lord, because of Jesus Christ and how you shine in our hearts, Lord. I thank you because Jesus Christ is the desire of ages, Lord. It's the thing that our heart yearns for. And so we pray and ask for the Holy Spirit, Lord, to enter our hearts. And Lord, as we open your sacred word, that it would open our hearts and our minds, Lord, and to see what exactly you want from your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to start this morning with a very personal question, okay? And I would like, a few people to answer. What is something that you are afraid of? What's something that you're scared of? And it could be something maybe not right now, but maybe when you were a child and when you were younger, what's something that terrified you? Do we have any brave volunteers? Or maybe those that don't are maybe scared of public speaking, right? Go ahead.
Dying.
Death. Death, yes. Death is the top. I heard one out there. What?
Spiders,
that's right. Like the little hairy ones, right? The ones that have a lot of hair or the long-legged ones. That's right. Anybody else? What was that?
Rattlesnakes,
okay. Is there are there a lot of rattlesnakes around this area?
Yeah.
Oh, man, okay. Well, I'll make sure not to go on any hikes then. Now, I have a very dear friend of mine, and he doesn't mind that I share this story, but have you guys ever heard of the boogie monster by any chance? And I know as Adventists, we shouldn't even be afraid of the boogie monster, right? But anyways, for a lot of kids, he's real. I mean, he exists, right? So I have a story of the boogie monster, and my friend, when he was young, he shares the story of his mother every night before going to bed. You know, she would sit down by his bedside and pray with him and give him goodnight smooches. And before she would leave the room, she would say, "Mom, don't leave me. The boogie monster is in my closet." And so this brave mother, knowing that the boogie monster does not exist, she opens the closet door and she begins to shout out loud and begins to wave her hands to scare this boogie monster away. And once she was done, my friend, he was like, "Thank you, Mom. Thank you so much. I can now sleep peacefully." And so now this was a reoccurring thing. This was happening almost every night. And so she was starting, one night she said, okay, she went downstairs, grabbed like a big pot and like, one of those big wooden spoons and went into the closet and started rattling that as well, scare the boogie monster away. Another time she was very clever. She took a little bit more time and she got, those Lysol sprays, the disinfectant ones? Well, she removed the label and she made a custom one that says anti-boogie monster spray. And so that was, I think, a little bit more effective. So she started thinking, okay, what's something that I can do? Because this is becoming too much. What's something that I can do to help my son with this fear? So one day, while my friend was at school, she went to Petco. And she wanted to get something that resembled the boogie monster. So one day he got back from school, and as he enters the door, the mother kind of comes down at his level and says, "I caught the boogie monster." And his eyes open up like, "Oh, you caught the boogie monster?"
Yeah.
And so he says, "Yes, he's in your room." And so he drops his backpack. Being a pastor, or a ministry is being a teacher, or an evangelist, or a Bible worker, but that's far from the truth. That's not what being involved in ministry is. You've probably heard this before, and I heard this one time from this famous evangelist. He says that there are five gospels. Don't throw stones at me, anything like that. But he says there are five gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you. Most people will not read the first four, but it's up to you to show them. It's up to you. It's up to you through how God is leading in your life, through the calling that He has placed in your heart, in your life, in your actions, to show them the gospel message through you. But so many times, our response is very similar to Moses in verse 11. Moses says to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I?" I don't know exactly your positions or how involved you are with the church, but I know that sometimes there comes times where maybe Pastor Tony or some of the elders or some people here in the leadership team have asked you and approached you and said, "Can you help with leading VBS this summer? Or can you help with being part of our praise team? Could you help in maybe giving Bible studies?" And sometimes when we get those invitations, we get really scared. And I know because I've experienced that too. I'm like, I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified to do those specific things. It's interesting that when I look at the story, God doesn't say, "You know what, Moses, you're right. How about I check back 40 years from now more? Maybe you went to theology school. Or maybe you got some special training at AFCO. Like, let me wait." No. Like, God approaches him right now, right in that second. Anybody here loves math? Not a lot of people. Okay, one person, okay? Let me ask you this question. What is 0 plus infinity? Someone say? Any answers? Infinity, that's right. Here's another one. What is 1,000,000 plus infinity? Infinity. Good. Last one. Here's your curveball. 1,000,000,000,000 minus infinity. 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 Did you guys catch that? God is infinite. God is infinite. Church, we serve an infinite God. That as much as I think that I might be a negative to His work, I still serve an infinite God. That He makes up for any of my disqualifications. I serve an infinite God. You serve an infinite God. What a statement. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you?'" When I looked at this, I chuckle, I kind of laugh. And it reminds me of when I was young, and I remember I was a bad kid. I would talk bad to my parents. But whenever I talked bad to my parents, there were consequences. Imagine Moses, a man in the flesh who's having a discussion, a disagreement with the God of heaven, saying like, but God, I, what if they don't believe me? Or what if they this, or what if that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I just always laugh at this part of Moses' encounter. Verse 2, it says, "Then the Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' 'A staff,' he replied." A staff. A stick. In some versions says a rod. Just something that really isn't extraordinary. Something that's simple. Something that to us in the human eyes is like, there's nothing special about that in your hand. But yet God says, "Perfect. I will use that. I will use that which is in your hand." That's exactly what God wants to do in our lives as well. He doesn't expect us to go to school for theology. He doesn't expect us to go to AFCO. He doesn't, like, God is desiring to use what you have in your hand right this second. God is a God who works the impossible. Our infinite God does amazing things that we can't even fathom in our minds. Imagine this. This rod or this stick that Moses had, God used to turn the Nile into blood. This rod called frogs, called the plagues to Egypt. This rod parted the Red Sea. This rod brought water out of a rock. This rod defeated the enemy's armies. This rod did powerful things because when Moses surrendered it to God, God used that. God used that. Exodus chapter 4, verse 3. I think it's completely cropped, so I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Exodus chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. The Bible says, The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake. And he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of it of the snake and it turned back into a staff in his hand. There was a woman that I asked, or someone that said, what are they afraid of? A rattlesnake, right? Imagine if God asked you to pick up that rattlesnake by the tail. Isn't the tail the worst part to pick up a snake from? Right? And so through this encounter, it's kind of funny, it's humorous that God says, okay, throw it on the ground, it turns into a snake, and what's Moses' automatic reaction? He runs. He's a chicken. I mean, that's probably what would most likely be my reaction too. I would probably run as well. But then God kind of calls him back. He says, hey, we're not done just yet. And he says, pick up the snake. And so he reached his hand, he took it by the tail, and then it turned back into a rod. When I first read this, I got multiple interpretations, but the way I understood it is that God sometimes will call me, Andy Villanueva, to do things that might be scary, to do things that might be uncomfortable. Can that be true of the church? That sometimes God calls us to do things that are out of our comfort zone, things that might scare us a little bit? I read a book called Experiencing God. Really, really great book that I recommend. And it says that it is out of our comfort zone that is where we can experience God the most. And that's something that I really appreciate about doing something like Youth Rush or doing door-to-door work, is that in moments where I know that I cannot do things, in moments where I know that I'm scared, in moments where I know I don't have eloquent words to speak to people, God steps in. And in those moments, I'm able to see, you know what? My divine Father is here with me, working through me, and he's setting up divine appointments there. That's one of the biggest things that I see when students do a program like Youth Rush, is that they, when they lead it through the 10 programs, at the end, they say that one of the biggest blessings that they got from the program wasn't so much that they made money, was because they had an encounter with Jesus. Because as you're going from door to door, as you're sharing the gospel message, there it is in those toughest moments, in the moments where you want to give up, in the moments where you see, I can't do this, where God shows up. Where God shows up in such a powerful way that you know that experience, that encounter where you had with someone at a door couldn't be done by human abilities or powers or schedule, but it was because our Heavenly Father set that appointment up. God calls us to do uncomfortable things. I want you guys to put your hands out, just like this. Put them up with your palms out. And just look at them. Just look at your hands. God is asking you today, what is in your hand? What is in your hand? You can put your hands down. What is exactly in your hand that you have that God can use today? What is it that you have there? God will often use what is in your hand, even when it seems menial and insignificant. There's a quote from Ellen White, a very powerful quote that she refers to these verses that we covered. It says, Moses had been carrying around that ordinary piece of wood for many years, and nothing dramatic had happened as a result. But after Moses surrendered the wooden rod to the Lord, it amazingly became the rod of God instead of merely the rod of Moses. There's a church in Canada where there was a gentleman who said, I want to do something for my community. I want to serve my community. All he had in his hand was a wrench, a toolbox. He had experience with fixing cars. So he decided to start a ministry that helped single mothers to fix cars for free. And so this started with like one or two appointments, but it gradually began to grow because these individuals who were blessed by his ministry told other people. To the point where the church invested in a small garage, and now this ministry grew and people were being impacted in such a powerful way. People's lives, they saw the gospel through this man's life and gave their life to Jesus. Someone else here, I'm guessing, probably has a very good talent in cooking. Or maybe something that you can do is feed the homeless. Or open or invite your neighbors to have a nice, warm meal. What's in your hand? What exactly do you have in your hand that God can use? As you guys walk out today, I have this little bookmark. And I would like to encourage you to take one at least. In this bookmark, there's 7 slots for the 7 days of the week. I want to encourage you that every day of the week to put a name. Just put a name of a family, a friend, a coworker, someone that you want to have an encounter with. In the back, there are some things of how you can initiate an encounter. Some, examples could be claim a specific Bible verse or promise for that person. Number 2, send an email or a text message to them. Invite them home for a meal. Make a phone call. Just give them a call. Learn a skill hobby for them. Mail a card. Share home-baked bread or cookies. Take them out for lunch. Young people love that, by the way. Give a book, a gift, or a glow track. Ask them for prayer requests. Enjoy a shared hobby. Invite them to an event. This is a great way for you to begin praying more intentionally for God to create those divine appointments in your life as well. Another way of what can be in your hand is through a glow track. Someone, Nelson, who actually started Glow, says, if you have a thumb, you can glow. Anybody can glow, young, old. You can just share this at a gas station with people, or maybe put it there, you know, those little, the lever, right, the handle. You could just put it there, and then the next person will get it. Anybody can glow. What's in your hand? God is a God of infinite opportunities, and maybe what you have in your hand might be different from the person next to you. But use your skills, your hobbies, maybe knitting, or maybe you love to just have great communication, or you're good with cars, or you're good with fixing your homes. Whatever it is, use that for God's honor and glory. As I finish, I would like you to take this card and just look at it in the back. Put your information, a way that we could get in contact with you. This card is something that I share when I go to different churches because we want to see exactly how you can be involved with church ministries, the things that are happening here in the church. So number one is I am interested in preparing for baptism. If you have not been baptized, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ into your life, that is the greatest decision that you will ever make in your life. Today is a day of salvation. Jesus Christ is a Christ of liberty, of freedom. Mark that down if you have not been baptized or accepted Christ into your life. And the pastor and the elders will be able to connect with you. Second one is I would like to be trained to give Bible studies. If you have a burden in your heart to know how to give Bible studies, but yet you don't know how, put that down as well. And even mark maybe how many people you would like to study with, maybe one or two people during the week. I'm already giving Bible studies. Mark that down as well. Number four, it says, I'm committed to open my home to neighbors or coworkers. If you want to be able to learn to be trained or equipped at camp meeting, our outreach department is going to have a segment all about how to have open your home and how to have conversations with people who are not Christians. And so if you would like to open your home to your friends, your families, your coworkers, mark that down as well. I will pray daily for divine appointments. If you in your heart desire to meet people in the community or through your day-to-day encounters, if you begin to pray for divine appointments, God is going to answer it. But you need to start praying. Last one is other. It's open. It's blank. Maybe in your mind as you heard the sermon and maybe you said, you know what, I have a passion for this. Put it down. We definitely want to use your skills, your hobbies, whatever's in your heart to reach people in the community. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you so much for, again, Sabbath. Thank you for being the desire of our heart, the desire of ages, Lord. Thank you for revealing yourself in such a beautiful way that, Lord, our hearts yearn for you, Lord. We love you, Father. And Lord, our love for you cannot just be contained. We can't put boundaries in your love, Lord. But Father, now help us to create a channel in our lives that we can share it with our community, that we can share it with our neighbors, our family, Lord, our coworkers. Lord, we want to see people experiencing the same joy that we can find in you, Lord. And I pray that today at 2 o'clock as we go out, give us divine appointments, Lord. I know that it's something that makes us uncomfortable. It might make us scared to speak to random strangers, but Lord, you are an infinite God. And Lord, where we fall short, you make up for it. And so I pray, Lord, that this week will just be a time where we could truly be co-laborers with you, Father. Laborers are few, Lord. And we just ask for this church that you will bless them in a beautiful way. And that this church can be a beacon of light in the community of Roseburg. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.